Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from New York, it's the show that's choreographing Usher's halftime performance. Not really choreographing, to be honest with you. I wasn't working on the dances, per se, but I was going through the whole catalog.
Trying to figure out the set. Wilds lost so much money betting on the Patriots this year, he's going to have to win it back on betting on the first song by for Usher.
I like the DJ song. Oh. What is it? Shoot. Today, does Mahomes have the most to gain or most to lose this Super Bowl? Oh, good question. Meanwhile, why one person here thinks Purdy is an excellent bet for Super Bowl MVP. And finally, coming up in just over an hour, so stay with us, watch a few commercials. It's the one and only Bake Show. Brew will be wearing a Bake Show jersey.
It might be lost.
No.
Try to find it.
Alongside Nick Wright, I'm Kevin Wilds. Brew, are you excited for the Bake Show? And are you actually going to talk about Kyle Trask? We only have about 8 minutes.
I mean, Kyle Trask might come up, but I am excited to see Bake. Okay. I am excited.
Please don't talk about
Kyle. He had a good year. It was a really good year. Would that embarrass the show?
Let's start with Kyle. We're starting with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's Super Bowl history. First Super Bowl, offensive coordinator with the Falcons. Turns out, didn't go so well. Was up 28-3 and then had a historic collapse against Brady Belichick and Hall of Famer Julian Edelman. You like Julian Edelman for the Hall of Fame? Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, no. Okay. He's a colleague and I love him, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
I'm trying to throw alley
oops
here.
Why are you setting me up like that?
Thank you.
Then up 20-10 against Mahomes, headed into the fourth quarter. That didn't hold either. Here's Kyle Shanahan.
I've been able to coach in 2 Super Bowls, and you lose either one of them, both of them are heartbreaking. So in terms of pain, I've broken my arm, my collarbone, a lot of things. So those are more painful, but those things last a while. But it's all about getting back there again, and that's what I'm excited for today.
What?
He wanted to let y'all know I'm about it.
Yeah,
I played this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I broke my collarbone.
Way back in the day. Yeah, that's what he was saying.
I broke my fibula. Who would a loss be more heartbreaking for, the 49ers or the Chiefs?
I'm really curious where Brew's going to land on this. I think it's unequivocal, and it's San Francisco. They've been banging on the door 4 years. More on that in a moment. They've been favored in every game they have played this season. They have baby Drew Brees at quarterback, I've been told. They are the favorites in this game, and the window at some point does close. Wilds, what am I?
A non-playable character in Red Dead Redemption. Like a bartender.
The way you asked that was crazy. What am I?
What am I? A sports historian is what I am.
He wasn't going to say that.
He never was going to say that. That's what they call me.
I am a sports historian.
It's literally what I am. Brew is as well. So here's the reason I mentioned it. That was a great pull, though, on NBC on Red Dead Redemption. Vikings of the 70s. Mm-hmm. Broncos of the 80s.
Yep.
Bills of the 90s, mix in teams with this many conference championship games and didn't even make a Super Bowl, the Rams of the 70s and the Eagles of the 2000s. Those are the teams that have had this type of postseason success without breaking through. And only one team ever has had this type of postseason success without breaking through and then broke through. And that was John Madden's Raiders. Every other one of those, you can say the Broncos did, but they didn't. They changed coaches, and it was 10 years later. Right. That team never broke through. And so those teams are considered some of the most tragic in NFL history. The Purple People Eater Vikings, the Rams with those amazing defenses. We talk about Elway, we think about him differently now than how we thought about him throughout the first 15 years of his career. So if the Niners don't do it now, when they're the Super Bowl favorite, when they've been favored all year, when they are healthy, I know they don't have Hufanga, but they haven't had him for 2 months. Yeah, they're as healthy as any team can be. This is not the type of loss you get over. So I would say for the Niners, without question, it's them.
I totally agree. I thought you might say Chiefs, but look, the Chiefs, and I guess you thought they'd be here, but they didn't have a good regular season. For them, it wasn't even good. It certainly wasn't great. For their standards, it probably wasn't even good. And I think the greater your regular season, the greater the disappointment if you don't get to the Super Bowl and win it. Like who's more – probably the most disappointed team right now is the Ravens. Because they had such a great regular season, even though Buffalo's disappointed Miami,
it's
the Ravens, right? Yes. So I think it's clearly the Niners.
And Detroit close because they were up so much in the NFC title game.
And they had a great regular season too. But, yeah, and look, Kyle Shanahan, for him, I mean, he already has that tag of a guy that can't win the big game, all right? And it's happened not just in the Super Bowl when he was with Atlanta as the OC, up 28-3 on your Patriots, and then against the Chiefs when he's up 10. They give up, 21 points in the last 6 minutes to lose that game. It also happened when the Rams won the Super Bowl. They were up 10 heading into the fourth quarter, 17-7. So if he loses this game, oddly the Niners are favorite, it seems like most pundits are picking the Chiefs. Even though a lot of people think the Chiefs should win, you don't bet against Mahomes, this will be a huge disappointment and continue that image or reputation for Kyle Shanahan. Oh. And then, and also, Nick, like, they are a stacked team.
Yes.
And at some point, if Purdy eventually gets paid, like, you're not going to be able to have a team that's stacked going forward.
That's what I think.
So if you don't get it done now, when?
Go ahead, Wiles. I'm sorry.
I didn't want to have to do this early in the show. Mm-hmm. I'm putting Kyle Shanahan on pumpkin alert.
Okay.
Pumpkin?
Pumpkin alert.
Okay, stop.
Pumpkin adjacent.
You don't think that'd be a steep drop?
I'm saying
he might not be the genius everybody's saying.
Okay. Oh, you think so? Well, I don't know.
You can't be a genius if you can't win the big one. He's really good.
I'm just saying he's pumpkin alert. Wow. Where it's like the clock strikes midnight, it's pumpkin time. He's on pumpkin alert that he should be worried, and here's why. You just laid out three big games where he was up 10 in the fourth quarter and the game got away from him. The other horrible stat is when he's down 7 or more entering into the fourth quarter, he's 1-31.
He's
1-31, I believe. Mm-hmm. So if he's up, he's going to be nervous. If he's down, he's going to be nervous. So all of a sudden, it's very slim for him to be like totally locked in and him not being affected by past losses. No, and when you start to think about the past rather than the future or the present, guess what? Pumpkin time.
Okay, no, but that's that.
Pumpkin's too far, but you don't agree with like.
No matter what happens Sunday, Kyle Shanahan's one of the four best coaches in the NFL.
At some point, it's going to be
okay, guys.
Like, just like Andy Reid was always a great coach, but it was still can he win the big one?
I'm glad you said Andy Reid. Do you guys actually think Andy Reid
top four?
Wait a moment.
Oh,
Andy Reid got dramatically better at coaching.
No, he just got Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So when Kyle Shanahan gets Patrick Mahomes, we'll have a different conversation.
Because the way people do coaching stuff is purely based on record, seasons, playoff appearances, Super Bowls, all of it, because there's no real eye test with coaches, right? And so the only eye test there is, in my opinion, is do you think they're overachieving? And this is where I think this is so wildly unfair. To Kyle Shanahan, he has gotten more out of, do we all agree at the very least, he got more out of the pre-Brock Purdy Niners than any coach could have? That they're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, who now everyone has come over to my side of the argument after you were calling him a winner and you were putting
up
the graphics.
All I said is he was a good quarterback.
Right, but now you don't think he's a good quarterback
anymore.
He
was good. Not now. His body betrayed him.
Okay, but he was a good quarterback. Okay, that's fine.
Because, Nick, let's not rewrite history. How well was Kyle Shanahan doing with the Niners before Jimmy G got
their time?
No, that. What do you mean?
They were at 1-10.
Drew, it was 1 year and they're turning the roster over.
And Jimmy G walks in and automatically they win.
I don't
want to
argue about Jimmy Garoppolo. The point I am making is we are now punishing a guy for his own excellence. He is getting every one of these big games he has lost. He has been at a massive disadvantage quarterback-wise. Massive.
But what about Matt Ryan, Brady?
They were 28-3.
That's the thing. The defense won the offense.
Nick,
they scored how many points?
They scored 28.
They scored 31.
Here's where your argument, and we get it. He hasn't had a bunch of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Fine. But if those quarterbacks are good enough to get you to the NFC title game or the Super Bowl and get you a lead with 10 minutes left.
Why can't they be good enough to finish it out? So I am not arguing that he's a perfect coach. But there is a level of every one of these games, he has been at a massive disadvantage at the quarterback
spot. That's by his own decision making. That's his decision to make the roster and start Brock Purdy. If he wanted to go out and sign a expensive veteran, he could have. But then he'd probably lose some talent around him.
They literally did that with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm talking and very expensive. Well, I guess he was
Jimmy Garoppolo was the highest. I'm not saying he's perfect. But we are going to absolutely fet like the King of England coaches that have accomplished much less with better quarterbacks, and certainly coaches that have accomplished the same with better quarterbacks. But because Kyle Shanahan has helped get his team, along with John Lynch's roster building, to these big games where it has been Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady, Matt Ryan and he wasn't the head coach, obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo versus Patrick Mahomes, Matt Stafford versus Jimmy Garoppolo, a zero-armed quarterback last year, so just throw that one out, and now Brock Purdy against Patrick Mahomes. But what do you want from him?
Nick, we have seen teams with lesser quarterbacks win Super Bowls.
Yes, I understand, hold on.
Nick Foles beat Tom Brady.
Agreed. But this is coming from the premise of Wild saying he's on alert.
He's 1-31, and he's down a touchdown in going into the fourth quarter.
Because you need
great quarterback play
to come back.
Not 1-31.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Well, Purdy overcame. He's got Purdy.
This is what bothers me. And then we'll move on. Yeah. Sorry to get so angry. I'm supposed to be the mayor of Fair here.
Yeah.
Out here with these hot takes. This is what bothers me. When Brock Purdy wins the game, Kyle Shanahan, what a genius. What a genius.
This guy's
out here making magic out of nothing. But when Kyle Shanahan, we put up the stat that he was 0-30 in the fourth quarter, it's like, what do you want him to do? He only had Matt Ryan, the MVP, and he was the offensive coordinator.
The MVP because of Kyle.
Well, maybe.
We have saw Matt Ryan.
What?
Hold on. His whole career. The only time he looked like an MVP was with Kyle. And I am not acting like he's a perfect coach. But this is
lunacy.
He was
0-30.
But Nick, your quarterbacks, as flawed as they may have been, can get you to the levels that Kyle has been at, then why can't you carry him out? And we see his play calling change, too.
That's late in games. Which is why he is not a perfect coach. But this is, to me, a little bit of, I don't want to use Shaq because he was the best, but it is taking a peak Russell Westbrook, what I mean, and being like, well, they're losing because he can't hit mid-range jump shots, as opposed to being like, one of the reasons they're in these big games is because of him. No, he's not perfect. And by the way, none of the coaches are. Andy struggles with clock management to this day. He's fixed that a bit since Patrick got there. And Bill, the coach we all believe is the best coach ever, the whole league decided not to hire him. 32 teams decided this year they'd rather have someone else than Bill Belichick.
It's just levels. I agree. Pumpkins are way too low level, but genius is too high. If he wins this game,
if you
want to
say the golden boy shine wears off a bit,
Yeah, that's all, what I'm saying.
Well, that's not what you're saying.
I'm saying he's on pumpkin
you
alert.
Said pumpkin alert.
I said when the fourth quarter hits, if he's down, he should be worried. If he's up, he should be worried.
Well, I that's agree not, because you should that's, be terrified at every moment of the game you're playing against Mahomes. But that's
that was a good way to put it, Wiles. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Trick or treat, pumpkin time.
He's not going to be at a rest till it's over.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Maybe they win. Yeah.
Last Chiefs loss, Christmas Day in Arrowhead. Arrowhead. Mahomes pick six to Jack Jones. And Pacheco fumble six. Brew has not made his prediction yet. Tune in Friday at 3 o'clock, we're targeting. But Max Crosby remembered those turnovers, and he's ready to make his call. If the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, they're going to win. The 49ers have to make it as uncomfortable as they possibly can for Patrick from start to finish. That's the only chance. That's how you beat them. Brew, your reaction?
Well, look, he's right. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is very good. I don't care what the stats say. He's good in avoiding the sacks and avoiding pressure and all, and he can run and scramble and all that, extend plays, make a pass. But the best chance you have is to make him uncomfortable and get pressure. They have had four games this year. And look, I get now citing the regular season feels a tad off because they've been so much better in the playoffs. Yeah. But there were four games in the regular season where he got sacked three or more times. They went 1-3. All right, the one game he's got sacked four times was this game against the Raiders, and they lost, obviously, and it was his worst game maybe of his career. You know, it was a terrible game for him. So I think that Nick Bosa is going to be huge, and if they could get anything out of Chase Young, that'd be great. But I think they've got to put pressure on Mahomes to at least have a shot to make him make a mistake or a bad play. And I know this whole postseason he hasn't had a turnover-worthy play.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be tough, but that's the best shot they have.
Yeah. It was always just the turnovers and only the turnovers. And when I was saying that in the regular season, you guys said it was cope. You guys said I was failing to see the obvious nature that no Super Bowl champion ever had done it without a great wide receiver three. You guys tried to tell me all these reasons that the Chiefs were cooked. When the reality is, we can show you their record this year in the last 5 years. Okay, so this year they've lost once when they didn't lose the turnover battle. And the one turnover was a pick six. The week one against Detroit. Last 5 years, when Patrick takes care of the ball, they win more than 96% of the time. So let's just go. In my opinion, the Chiefs have one loss all year that was not due to their own mistakes. Green Bay. Green Bay just beat them. And now that was also the game where the DPI could have been called at the end, but they were down 8. Even if it was called, they might have lost that game. Detroit week one. The pick six flipped the game, yeah, right? The next loss, Patrick Mahomes in Denver with the flu, 5 turnovers for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's still a 4-point game late into the fourth quarter. The next loss, Buffalo, they throw a pick on the first, or I'm sorry, Philly. Travis Kelce fumbles inside the 10, and despite that, there's the MVS, the MVS drop at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, there's a pick on the very first drive of the game. Rasheed fumbles in the red zone and still had it with the Tony game. And Vegas, we just talked about it, a fumble six and a pick six in 7 seconds. One time this year, a team has lined up and just been better. And it was Green Bay, which drastically changed Wild's thoughts on
but
the
sometimes
Packers.
Teams but, make, I mean, but, yeah, there are the, forced turnovers and unforced turnovers.
Correct.
But we could probably look at a lot of teams and say, hey, yeah, had they not throwing these two interceptions.
Right. Mac Jones
agreed. But the reason it matters more, in my opinion, for the Chiefs in this game is what has Patrick shown you the last two postseasons?
Not throwing it away.
He can just stop turning the ball over if he stops taking chances and still be effective. So Max Crosby, maybe future Chief, maybe not. I don't know. I know the
future
Raiders have
Chief.
The Raiders got a lot of, you know, they got things to do. They might need to trade up, might need extra draft picks, try to go get a real quarterback. I don't know. I'm just saying he's making a lot of sense.
Super Bowl winners all time. You win the turnover battle, you win 39 Super Bowls. If you tie the turnover battle, 11 Super Bowls. And if you lose the turnover battle, it's 7. So I think Patrick Mahomes may not have that.
I think one of those lost the turnover battle but won the game is Mahomes against the Niners. I think.
Josh?
We can check.
He had two interceptions.
He had two picks. Josh, Jimmy G had one with his eyes closed, and I don't think there were any other
ones. Josh and I are still working on our nonverbal communication. Uh-huh. He just shook his head no, which either is I don't have that data right now or you're wrong.
Okay.
Stand by, Josh.
Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead. No, they tied it. Okay, they tied it.
Perfect. Great job, live TV. Good job. Coming up next, Super Bowl MVP odds. We're not actually coming up next topic. Mahomes at one. Purdy is at two. McCaffrey's at three. Then Kelsey. And then Debo. Brew, which 49er is most likely to win Super Bowl MVP?
I mean, you could say Purdy just because he's quarterback. I'm going to go McCaffrey.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's a fair one.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, bro.
Haven't I said all year McCaffrey's a better running back than Purdy is a quarterback?
Go ahead, bro.
Haven't I said that?
I can't believe
that. Now, Purdy can ball.
Five, yeah.
But here's my reason. You know I've been grinding. I mean, I've been here. I was here hours before y'all.
And later.
It was still dark when I was here.
Well, when I left. You were still here when I came in. You were grinding. Still here.
Did the odd couple from here just so he could keep
7-10.
What I have seen, I mean, I knew this before, but still. A key for the Niners is going to be they're going to have to be able to run the ball against the Chiefs. All right. So McCaffrey, look, in the playoffs, McCaffrey's got four touchdowns. And so if they can't run the ball against the Chiefs, it's going to be hard to beat them. And so I think that's going to – and the Chiefs were middling against the run in the regular season. Buffalo obviously ran all over them in the playoffs. So the Niners got to get their run game going, and McCaffrey obviously.
That is the right answer.
Excellent.
You're not allowed to have that opinion.
Why not?
He's out here grinding.
Because I can't say Brock Purdy can ball, but Christian McCaffrey might be the MVP.
Wilds, who's the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP?
Stand by.
Terrell Davis in 1996.
Who was the last receiver before Cooper Kupp?
The second to last receiver, Julian Edelman. I don't know.
Julian Edelman, Hall of Famer.
Niners have one of the best run games in the league
since the last run.
And Purdy didn't even throw the ball as much as Lamar Jackson this season.
Since the last running back won a Super Bowl MVP, we have had quarterbacks win it. Mm-hmm. We have had four receivers, five defensive players. It might be 5-4 the other way around. This is why I get frustrated with the Purdy discourse. Because even the most ardent supporters don't really believe in him.
Well,
because in order for
his running back, his all-pro running back might get the MVP is not believing in it?
Yes. Saying
Julian Edelman was going to be the MVP is saying that you don't believe in Brady?
If going into the game, you think it is more likely for the Niners' best path to win is Christian McCaffrey.
Well, that's an MVP. Yeah, their best path is to run the football.
Okay. All right. Well, then
who's been their MVP in the playoffs?
Who was their MVP of the regular season?
It's arguable.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, who was MVP in the playoffs?
Brew, all who's year the MVP long in the playoffs? We had this argument, and you've been pimping Purdy.
I said Purdy. I ain't pimping him.
Okay,
but I said Purdy was their MVP, and then when he had the bad game against Baltimore, I stopped saying he was the MVP.
No, that was of the league. I'm talking about for the Niners. For the Niners.
Quarterback touches the ball every play. Quarterbacks, Kittle's not getting receptions.
Exactly. Debo, say Purdy.
But no, they have to run the football.
Why can't they trust young Drew Brees?
They can trust him. Okay. Oh, they gotta trust him. Okay. Did they trust him against Detroit?
Yes.
Down in the second half? Yes. Did they trust him against Green Bay?
So say Purdy. No.
Even in those. Why? They got a good squad. I could have said Fred Warner.
Guess what my
would
answer
that mean? I don't believe in Purdy? Cool.
What's your answer?
My answer is Fred Warner.
You guys are such frauds.
No.
Everything's not black and white. There's a nuance to things.
You're out here looking for narratives.
He was here until midnight last night.
Thank you. Thanks, man. I spent the night here. I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to brag.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Ooh, coming up today, it's The Bake Show. And then on Friday, Bijan Robinson. Trevor Lawrence had no good.
Not able to do it.
No, he was on the graphic.
No, you know what? He's on London time.
You know what?
And we screwed
yet
up.
Another disappointing performance.
Okay, you know what?
You know? But right now, let's check in on the first things first. Well, again, we are aligned with the Kansas City Chiefs, but Brew has not made his decision. We're thinking 3 o'clock on Friday. Please tune in. He spent the night here grinding tape. Someone who has already made a call on their Super Bowl prediction because he declared one of these teams DOA. Super Bowl champion Greg Jennings is here with us. Let's take a listen to the videotape.
Look, we can act as though this is the Mahomes of old. This is the Kansas City of old. They're not, Nick.
Okay.
And you will find out sooner rather than later.
Yikes.
The Chiefs should not be atop the team.
Excuse me, I'm allergic to nonsense.
Are you allergic to nonsense?
Well, I mean, I work with you a lot, so I'm developing.
Greg, welcome.
Hey.
Welcome. Do you owe Nick and Chiefs Kingdom, which I am an honorary member of, an apology?
Well, let me immediately start by saying absolutely I do owe Chiefs Kingdom, first and foremost, an apology.
There we go.
Because
this is ceiling.
Unlike some of my counterparts across from me, when I am wrong, I just admit that I was wrong. Brew, don't think that I'm talking to you.
I know you're not talking about me.
Oh, yeah, I am. But anyway.
I admitted I was wrong.
Look, I made the statement of they didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And
compared them to the Eagles.
Pat, I did compare them to the Eagles. Please.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to apologize.
My bad. I apologize.
And the reason why I was saying that you guys didn't have a chance was based off of what I had seen all regular season. What I didn't put into account was what Nick had been trying to advise us on all season long, is that the regular season does not matter when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. And so for that, I will say, I apologize to Chiefs Kingdom. Now to you, Nick.
Oh, more.
There has to be some amount of pride that I have. Uh-huh. And so I'm standing on that pride,
standing
and I'm not apologizing to you.
Ooh, why not?
I like
Chiefs Kingdom.
Because you are the person in the room that is so obnoxious that there is nothing in me that feels like I owe you an apology because regardless if I was right, I don't believe that there would be an apology coming this way.
That's true.
So, but for Chiefs Kingdom... Nick. I apologize to you guys. I should have never doubted Patrick Mahomes. Forgive me, please.
If you were more humble in victory like me, he would have apologized.
What victories?
Ravens used to win.
I mean, what?
I think he would have apologized. Okay,
you know, I probably would have.
See?
All right, then we can, you know what? I mean, I was here, spoiler alert, I wasn't going to accept it.
Oh.
So I'm glad he didn't give it.
Exactly my point.
We can just move on. Greg, Chiefs Kingdom is a kinder, gentler people than I am.
Greg, have you made your official pick?
I have not made my official pick. But
which way are you leaning? Because Brew is making his pick Friday, 3 o'clock.
I'm leaning to a team in red.
Okay.
Oh,
conspiracy. Okay. CBS.com ranked the 20 best Super Bowl quarterbacks. Quick explanation of the list written by Brian DiArdo. The list is, quote, not purely based on talent and career accomplishments. It's about their impact on the Super Bowl, both in the moment and in the following years.
It's kind of a nonsense list.
Okay, I'm trying.
This will be interesting.
Yeah. Brady, number one.
Sure.
Montana. Terry Bradshaw.
And now it gets
Troy Aikman, 3-0. Elway.
Okay.
Then it's Mahomes, Peyton, Namath, Eli, and then Bart Starr.
Okay.
So, Nick, we can start with you. Mahomes, too high, too low, or just right?
Well, you're not. The high-low is always complicated with the numbers. Listen, at worst, he should be number four, and at best, he should be number two.
Four.
So, listen, Brady's got to be number one.
Correct.
Just because of the seven, right.
Montana, I get it. I understand the argument to it because if we are talking about not playoff performances, we are talking about solely Super Bowl performances because Montana had some really bad postseason performances, but none in the Super Bowl. That's fine.
11 touchdowns.
Right. That's fine that he can be two. Bradshaw, sneaky, amazing playoff Super Bowl resume with also some of the weirdest box scores ever.
Because you
look at him. So his first Super Bowl, it was 9 completions, 96 yards and touchdown. This is just defense. That's fine. But his second and third Super Bowls, he doesn't complete the ball a lot, but they're all bombs.
Yeah,
he had 9 completions for 200 yards, 209. 2 touchdowns, 9 picks. And then the second one, 17 completions for 310 and 4 touchdowns. He was just chucking it. Yeah. And so, exactly. So if you want to say right now those are the three and Mahomes is four, that's fine. The Elway stuff is offensively bad.
Okay.
And the Aikman stuff's nonsense. So here is, I'll try to give you some graphical evidence of it. But first, Mahomes' raw Super Bowl numbers are far less impressive than the games were. So his first Super Bowl ever, he's playing a top two defense in the league, and they scored 21 unanswered in the final 7 minutes to win. His third Super
Bowl. A lot like a Brock Purdy playoff game this year. Bad early, 2 interceptions.
Okay, except for the good defense part and the 21 points in the final 7 minutes. But that's fine. It was not
Purdy scored against
terrible defenses. Correct? Am I right or wrong?
Can we?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I'm just saying, you go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your whole flow.
Okay. His third Super Bowl, the one against the Eagles, they gained every single yard possible in a second-half comeback. Every single yard that they could have gained except for the one they kneeled down on.
Yep.
And the second Super Bowl, the numbers are terrible. But if you listen to the Tampa Bay players or Tom Brady or watch the game, you know he played better than the numbers suggest, even if you want to say that was a bad game. But here's the reason why. There's Mahomes, there's Brady, and then there's everyone else on all the hardest Super Bowl stuff. And we can just roll through the graphics, please. 10-point comebacks in Super Bowl history. Mahomes has 2. Brady has 2. Everyone else in the history of the Super Bowl has 2. Okay, being down, so your record in those situations. Mahomes is 2-1. Brady's 2-1. Every other quarterback is 2-47.
Thanks, Kyle Shanahan.
And then... Lastly, yeah, Shanahan's responsible for 2 of them. How about this? Win-loss against a top two defense. So a top two defense. Mahomes, both of his rings have come against it. Brady was 1-0. Everyone else is 8-18. So the degree of difficulty, the comebacks, all of it, to me, clearly supplant the fact that Aikman's 3-0. And I don't know how Elway got there because Elway was downright awful in 3 Super Bowls.
Elway is... To have him ahead of Mahomes is ridiculous. All right, Elway's got 3 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in his 5 Super Bowl games, and he's only 2-3. I mean, I'm not trying to take away. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Great, but he just wasn't awesome in all these Super Bowls. So I would have Nick Mahomes, I would have him 5. I still, the first 3 I think are right on the money. Bradshaw was better in the Super Bowl than
anywhere
he is
else.
In like the regular season.
Correct.
Like just legendary plays and comebacks or, you know, clutch passes and all that. And look, Aikman, I get your argument. Aikman did, though, have a 4 touchdown game in the Super Bowl. He was obviously 3-0. That's not all on him. But I don't mind for now having Aikman where he's at. But the Elway one is the one that's ridiculous. I think he should be 5th.
Wow.
Mahomes.
I got Mahomes 3rd. Terry Bradshaw, I love that he has 4. But when I look at it, I don't just solely look at, like, your stats. Like, what – when I think about that Super Bowl in those games, like, were you the best player? Like, when you think about Joe Montana – in those 49ers teams, like he had Jerry Rice won one of those MVPs, but he has, I think, 3 of them. when you think about Tom Brady, Tom Brady's in a whole nother category, so we'll eliminate Tom Brady. But when you look at Terry Bradshaw, love what Terry did. Love Terry. Two MVPs, four Super Bowl appearances, four wins. Totally respected. If you want to argue it, you can argue it. But once you get beyond that, Troy Aikman, he has one MVP. Like, you don't think of those Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl teams and say, man, when Troy Aikman got there, it was over.
And the one, listen, the his one great stat game was the 55-10,
correct.
A different context than, you know, and so the Super Bowl MVP's point, only Montana and Brady have more than Mahomes as of now. I think that it's an odd list because it's just about – if it's just about how you played in the Super Bowls, then Elway, who is, in my opinion, one of the six greatest quarterbacks ever, has to plummet. Because and you know who also –
And Peyton.
And Peyton has to plummet.
Was he seven? Yeah, he should plummet.
Peyton was okay in one Super Bowl and bad in three, and so it's an odd way to do it.
Okay, coming up next, MVS talking about – Aaron Rodgers as the second best quarterback ever, I guess. Odd quote.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
MVS had some high praise for his quarterback and for Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted, Rodgers hasn't thrown for 300 yards in his last 24 games, but he's still the four-time MVP and an all-time great. MVS may have overshot it. Take a listen.
I've played with the two best quarterbacks to ever play this game, especially when it comes to, you know, arm talent-wise. You know, obviously, Brady has all the statistics, but I think Pat's getting pretty close to, you know, breaking some of those. But when it comes to arm talent, man, between Aaron and Pat, you know, they're equal.
Okay. The arm talent thing, I guess.
Yeah.
What?
But he just said best quarterbacks. Two best quarterbacks.
He's saying arm talent. You buy it like arm talent?
He softened it with the arm talent. Uh-huh. They the two best quarterbacks.
Yeah, what he's talking about is the talent, period. Arm talent just smarts the whole. Like, if we're talking wins, everybody knows Brady is, you can't touch him yet. Patrick Mahomes is on his way if he gets there. But as far as how we've always compared quarterbacks in this league, when Aaron was at his best and at his prime, we compared all quarterbacks to him because there were things that he could do that we hadn't seen. When you look at Aaron Rodgers and you looked at the landscape of quarterbacks, he could do it all. There's nothing that Tom Brady did outside of just continue to win as far as that statistic
that
he couldn't do from a skill set. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, we compare every quarterback of today to him. We measure them. They are the standard. They are the gold star. And so when I listen to him, I don't disagree. What he's talking about is that arm talent, those tangibles, if they have the ball and they have an opportunity to win the game, this is who you want because you don't know what you're
going
to
do. Winning the game is arm talent, do or no?
Well, see, look. I get the arm talent. The three best arm talent, in my view, Mahomes, Rodgers, and you got to throw Marino in there. Dan Marino, just arm talent, okay? This is my – obviously, Rodgers not one of the two best. You can argue top five. I think the top four is set. Brady, Montana, Mahomes, and Peyton Manning.
I think some people think Rodgers better than Manning, for the record. I think some people do.
I think Manning changed the game.
Sure. No, yeah.
Neither phenomenal in the postseason. Yeah. This is my main problem, Greg, and you probably heard me say it before, with Rodgers. And you even just said, if you got to win a game, this is the guy you want.
In the playoffs. Not
the NFC title games in specific. This is a guy that never throws interceptions. That's probably his greatest attribute, right? That the one thing you say, man, never threw interceptions. Yet in five NFC title games, he's thrown eight. Nine touchdowns, eight picks. So that's where I, again, just move him out of the Mahomes grouping. But
can I ask you
top three arm talent?
Yes. Do you think the NFL should give out an MVP award?
Yes.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I'm going to play this game.
No. I'm not trying to do a gotcha thing.
Do you think we should have money? I'm like, no. Why? To purchase goods.
No, but that's not it. It really has crystallized to me over the last couple weeks, but certainly with the conversation yesterday and now with this conversation here, you seem totally uninterested in anything other than the win-loss record in championships. So I'm just like, no. So I am just curious if you simply think that they should wait on the MVP award until post-Super Bowl and have the winning team vote on which of their guy gets it. Like, should there be any distinction whatsoever for...
Regular season? Sure.
No, for statistical excellence. Do you... Let me ask another question.
It is a gumball.
Do you think that they should keep a record book that's anything other than wins and losses for quarterbacks? I'm honestly asking. Do you think we should have
numbers? You're not honestly
asking. No, because you don't seem to think to care.
Well, here's what I like me and some guys, you know, Vince Lombardi. You know, we think that winning is the only thing.
Right. But the only thing.
Vince Lombardi would have said don't do MVPs. Except when we put up Brock Purdy stats and we're like, wow. Best passer rating, you're like, passer rating?
No.
But because I don't like people that cherry pick the empirical data that they want to use, so I just sit on Super Bowls and winning the game.
Right. Which is why I'm asking you, should we get rid, if you were the sports czar.
It's a fair question.
Would we get rid of everything else?
Wiles does not think that.
No. Don't speak
for Wiles. We want MVPs.
Can you please not?
No. Do you think it's a gumbo? I think it's a gumbo.
It's not a gumbo. It's one award at the end. That's it. Yes, I care about Tom Brady's winning. So when you say a guy has better arm talent, I'm like, okay, that's excellent. But is he not? He's not better than Tom.
Dominique could jump higher than Michael. Does that matter?
He's got, okay.
Fine.
Most graceful. That's great.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Two San Jose State alumni who protested during the 1968 Olympics. They intended to draw global attention to the plight of people of color in the U.S., spotlighting injustice and quality endured by millions of black Americans. Mr. Smith raised his right fist to represent black power. Mr. Carlos wore a bead necklace to symbolize lynching of black Americans and raised his left fist to represent black unity. The scarf he wore stood for black pride, and the socks with no shoes represented African-American poverty. Their powerful silent protest was controversial, but it woke folks up and created greater opportunity for those that follow. This Black History Month, I salute you both.
Welcome back to the show. Travis Kelce has been on fire throughout the playoffs. 23 catches, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. Any doubts from Kelce? Not at all. Take a listen.
Ain't no jitters for me, baby. I'm excited for this one, man. I'm excited for the challenge. I know it's going to be our biggest challenge yet. There's no doubt seeping in. We got a great football team, and we're going up against a great football team. It's going to be one for the ages. I'm just excited for it, man.
Okay, who should have more doubts, the Chiefs or the 49ers, bro?
Yeah, obviously the Niners. I mean, they haven't looked great in the playoffs. They've been getting destroyed in the run game. They got the third youngest starting quarterback ever in the Super Bowl, and he's in his first full year as a starter. And most of, I think 9 guys played on that in that 2020 Super Bowl or 2021 that are still with the team. And obviously the Chiefs with all the experience, best quarterback in the world. So, yeah, it's clearly the Niners.
Yeah, for me, being a player that's played in this game, neither team. I come at it from a different angle. Like, at this stage, you truly believe that you have everything that you need to win this game. Like, I don't care.
Except for the right practice.
I don't care what you've gone through, how it's looked. Once you're here, you truly believe this is our year. Like, because of you going through all the adversities, because of them overcoming the 21-point deficit or whatever the deficit was against Detroit, them being the 49ers, 17, and then Mahomes, the season that they had, they both feel like this is our year. Like, it's just – it's reading and it's – the script is laying up for us to just take it. So I don't think either team has doubt, either player, either coaching staff. Yeah. That's the approach you have to have. And it's not false. It is real until
whether you get stomped or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wilds, what week is this week?
Well, it's never a doubt
week. It's never a doubt week. And that was while I popularized the phrase. Oh, yeah. You know, I can't claim that I invented it. The Chiefs, they have lived it all year long. And they have only gotten better and more confident as the challenges have gotten greater. They have played their worst against their worst opponents and played their best under the most arduous circumstances, whether it be negative 30 degrees or on the road in Buffalo with vigilantes throwing snowballs at Mahomes' head, or in Baltimore where nobody thought they had a chance and the line kept getting bigger and bigger. San Francisco, on the other hand, has plenty of doubts. Doubts about whether or not the refs are going to call holding this year because it was so unfair 4 years ago. Doubts about whether or not the NFL should have built a whole new practice facility of NFL caliber just for them when they show up. And whether they will admit it or not, while they are studying the tape and getting ready, they have some doubts about, wait, how has our quarterback done against the best defenses this year? Who are the best defenses in football this year, in your opinion, Greg? Name three.
Well, Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And
Cowboys.
The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, Greg, we didn't prep that, but I'm so glad you picked those three. Going into the year, I had the Cowboys. Cleveland's defense was historic this year on a lot of things. Here's how Brock did against those Browns and Ravens.
Remember a game, potential game-winning drive.
In that game, he threw for 125 yards and 44% really? Passing, and it's included in that. Dusty, next time, add a note line. Almost had game-winning drive. And so I would be a little nervous if I would have a little doubt.
I don't think they're doubting Brock Purdy. You really think they're doubting Brock Purdy?
I don't think his performance in these eight quarters of the playoffs has made them more confident. No, I don't.
It should have made you more confident in him because that's what you said you wanted to see.
Yes.
And he delivered it to you twice.
Correct.
And you
Brew, you're right. It did make me more confident.
Dusty, goalposts.
Brew, it did, but I'm not the Niners.
You're moving around.
Moving the goalposts.
He thinks I'm moving the goalposts.
Yeah. Thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinks.
Move him around.
Go ahead, Nick. Here, take that goalpost.
Move him around. Move
him. Live from New York, it's the show that is on day three of Never a Doubt Week. How's it been?
I think it's been excellent.
Too. Second hour of First Things First today. Our special Super Bowl segment on who has the most to gain, and as a bonus, who has the most to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile,
that's my favorite.
In 12 short minutes, the one and only Bake Show.
Bake Show!
We talk about his career, his future, and hopefully not, if we can convince Brew to change his itinerary, Kyle Trask.
That's a fair question.
It's Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which means you're in for a special treat.
Yeah.
Last night, the committee did not meet, actually had their end-of-the-year bowling party. So instead of tears, we've got a new segment, the illustrious list of most to gain and most to lose, which we are calling Most to Gain and Most to Lose.
Thank you so much.
I still think it needs a little
maybe,
zazz.
But also, you know, listen, as we do always at our end-of-year party, mm-hmm. the committee, we hold ourselves accountable.
Oh.
And we like to see how the tiers stacked up, too. So, you know, Robert collects all USA Today's from every Monday throughout the year. We look at herd hierarchy and everything and say, hey, how did those ranking systems rank the Chiefs and the Niners? And how did the tiers? So, tale of the tiers, let's see how we did. Oh, so the Chiefs, the Super Bowl AFC representatives, their average rank 1.5. The Niners average rank just better than third. Highest, of course, both of them atop the tiers at one point. The Niners fell to sixth. The Chiefs fell to third tier. They both shared time atop the tiers, and the Chiefs were consistently above the Niners. But I would challenge anyone out there, Jared Bell from USA Today, Colin Coward from The Herd, anyone else that does ranking systems, see how your guys' power rankings did compared to the committees. Now, to most to gain, most to lose. Number eight, most to gain, Christian McCaffrey. He's amazing, but has never won anything other than Gatorade High School Player of the Year two times. He didn't win any state titles in football or track, even though he's playing in Colorado. Learned that on The Ringer, thanks to them. He got snubbed in the Heisman, in my opinion, for Derrick Henry. They never made the college football playoff, national championship, won a Rose Bowl. This could be his moment. Brew and I both think he's the most likely non-quarterback and maybe the most likely Niner to win Super Bowl MVP. So Christian McCaffrey. Number seven, the GMs, Brett Veach and John Lynch. Veach, post-Tyreek trade, trying to paint a masterpiece, going 2-for-2 in Super Bowls. Lynch surviving the Trey Lance debacle and still having not only viable quarterback play, but good quarterback play in maybe the most well-rounded 2-through-53 roster in the league. Is the best GM in the world title belt hanging atop Allegiant Stadium? Maybe. Number six, Travis Kelce. He would supersede the best tight end discussion and start to enter the, okay, who are the best weapons in NFL history? Who are the best non-quarterback offensive players? You look at Travis Kelce's career compared to a Emmitt Smith, those types of things. And so that's what he does with this, and he's already on the very short list of all-time playoff performers. Number five, Brock Purdy. It guarantees that he is the long-term starter. It vindicates his biggest supporters, and it might shut up his loudest critics. Number four, Andy Reid joins Gibbs and Walsh as the only coaches with three Super Bowl rings. Belichick, of course, sitting atop with six. Chuck Knoll with four. He also, catching Bill Belichick becomes possible. He's 44 regular season wins away, right now six playoff wins, and would be just three, just, I understand, Super Bowl wins away. And he would be only behind Bill Belichick already is in Super Bowl appearances. No other coach has more than five. Number three, Kyle Shanahan. It vindicates everything about him, his approach, his entire tenure in San Francisco. It gets him, in my opinion, even with McVay, in the young coach power rankings, if you will, of Andy Reid and Belichick. Belichick now obviously out of the league. And to me, it erases a lot of the kind of scar tissue from 2019. Number two, me. This one's obvious. Sure. We started the year with never a doubt. We never had a doubt, and I get to be the rightest man in sports media once again after a down 2023. Remember, Reuters called me the most accurate sports pundit 2022. Yeah. And number one, of course, Patrick Mahomes. He ascends like Tiger in 2001 or Gretzky in 1984, where he is now only chasing ghosts and the record books, where he has also entered the discussion. Not, he will clearly have had the greatest start to a career of any football player ever, but starts to enter the discussion of, other than Bill Russell, did he have the greatest start to a career of any professional American athlete ever? So that, Greg Jennings, is our most to gain in Super Bowl 58 list.
Yeah, for me, it's Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy jumps up to number one. Obviously, with where he is financially, where he was drafted, the last quarterback taken in his draft, and to now be leading this team to their second championship week, but then now his first Super Bowl with this team. Like, he's going up against Patrick Mahomes. When you think about some of the comparisons that has been made of Brock Purdy, Joe Montana became Joe Montana after the catch. Why after the catch? But it was because he ended up completing the task, which was win the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy has an opportunity to do that with the drive he had against Green Bay, obviously the comeback against the Detroit Lions and all the things. So for me, all the scheme that Kyle Shanahan has put together, if it works, it's because of that guy. If it doesn't work, it's probably going to be because of that guy. So he has the most to gain, obviously the payday being number one. And when you get paid in this league as a quarterback, and a lot of us doubted who he is as an elite quarterback, we would not be able to argue the case of all that we've argued this season about why Brock Purdy is not the future of this team and an elite quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why Nick Foles has had such a long starting career. Brew, go ahead.
No, I totally agree with Greg. I think Purdy should be number one. He wins this. I don't know what you're going to say about him. Negative. I would move McCaffrey up, though. I think McCaffrey should be five. I have Purdy number one. I think McCaffrey should be five because there already might be whispers about maybe he's a Hall of Famer. If they win this Super Bowl and he's a driving force in the game, I think now it's like, because look, you're going to wonder about running backs going forward because they aren't putting up the numbers. They don't get the carries that they used to get.
So that's interesting.
2 years, he's over 2,000 yards all per, you know, from scrimmage. 4 seasons, the 4 years he's been healthy, he's rushed for over 1,000 yards. And remember Terrell Davis? Yeah. Only 4 really good years in his career, but 2 of them ended in Super Bowls. So I'm not saying he would be a definite Hall of Famer. I'm just saying now it's like, okay, you start thinking, this guy might be a Hall of Famer if he continues to play well.
Yeah, I don't think, so I'm glad you said that part at the end. I don't think winning, he's not all of a sudden already stamped in. But it would be, and I think the point that you make that we might have to start looking at the same way we have had to look at wide receiver numbers and almost put a deflation on for the era. Yeah. I do wonder if running backs, if we might have to look at it less about what their raw numbers are and say, is there going to be any running back from this decade get in? Like right now, Derrick Henry is the only active running back that I think is a likely Hall of Famer. Maybe C-Mac could join him. So I think that's a good take.
Go ahead, I'm staying on the Kadarius Toney train.
Okay, I am.
Here's the thing. The Chiefs had a bunch of drops. It's one of the reasons why Greg didn't necessarily believe in them. And Bruce said that perhaps the Chiefs were squandering Mahomes' prime. Its 6.3 drop rate is the worst of any team in the last 3 years. But Mahomes, steady. He's like, MVS, I know you dropped a few balls. I'm going to go back to you in the biggest moment of the season, complete a pass. Well, this is the last pass that Mahomes threw to Kadarius Toney. He popped it up against the Patriots, gave the Patriots a little bit of life. Not really, though. Still lost the game. But then this shot of Mahomes is like kind of done with him. The announcer's like, Mahomes just doesn't trust him anymore. But Andy Reid says Kadarius Toney has a chance to play. He had the big punt return. If he can do something in the Super Bowl, it not only affirms his status as a valuable wide receiver when he didn't even have 200 total yards, but also Mahomes' ultimate faith in his guys.
I don't know that he should play. I don't need him on the field.
Why is he at media day?
I think he should play.
Because the Chiefs brought literally every single player on the active roster. Most to lose, the most fun part. All right, most to lose. 5-1, Brock Purdy for obvious reasons. Brady and Belichick.
What do we got to lose?
What do you mean? Objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear.
Not that close.
Young AFC quarterbacks, CJ, Trevor, you haven't signed your contract extension yet. It's not too late to ask for a trade to the NFC where you might have a chance. Me for obvious reasons, and the rest of the media who has doubted the Chiefs all year. Oh, me and Bobby Stroop have those receipts, and we have them saved in the draft.
Oh, if
the Chiefs win.
Assuming the Chiefs win,
because the Chiefs are going to win.
No, but you don't have
no,
to lose.
No, you would be except they lose. Correct.
Except for me. I had to put myself on there. I have to be fair. Fair is fair. I demand accountability from others. I have to demand it for myself. Everyone else was assuming they lose.
Okay.
We had to rip through that because Bake Show's coming up.
Bake Show coming up. Bruce putting on his Kyle Trask jersey.
The Bake Show!
On first.
Yes!
Bake Show is here.
There we go!
And by here, I mean there, but still. Welcome back to a very exciting segment of First Things First. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, the 2023 Pro Bowl MVP, and he's the quarterback that led the Bucs back to the playoffs after Tom Brady left. On behalf of Advance Auto Parts Fall Starts Campaign, Baker Mayfield joins us. Baker, thank you. Two-part question here. One, tell us about your campaign, and two, do you have a Super Bowl prediction ready to go?
I gotcha. So Fall Starts Kill Drives campaign we got going on here. Obviously, Super Bowl Sunday is a big deal, but the following Sunday is National Car Battery Day. So we've got a little campaign going on that if you register at aapfallstarts.com and you register there, and if there's one false start during the Super Bowl, then you get a chance to win free car batteries from Advance Auto Parts for life. So
there you go.
Pretty sweet gig you got going on there. All you need is one false start.
I'll count on
some
the Chiefs
new guys
for that.
Playing the Super Bowl.
Taylor, unfortunately, probably takes care of that. Everyone's going to get
it's,
that free
it's a lock. It's a lock. But I think I got San Fran winning.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
So here we go. It's a bad start.
You know what? That doesn't hurt the
relationship. Every time I say it, I feel like the Chiefs are going to win.
Baker, as you can see, I'm in this beautiful jersey. It is your jersey, my man. And I'm wearing it because I was a skeptic when the season started. I don't know if you saw it. I looked at how you played in Carolina. I was like, man, I don't know if Baker's going to do it this year. I thought we might see Kyle Trask later in the season. Congratulations, you proved me wrong, man. So I want to start here. What was the difference between, you know, playing in Carolina? Obviously, you didn't play your best football. And then this year when you had, you know, a Pro Bowl season?
I mean, it starts top down, how they run the organization, everybody being on the same page, and just how do you win games? And so when you got a lot of voices going on behind the scenes, you're making distractions for your players. You're not putting them in a good position to have success and play free. So for me, getting to Tampa, it was refreshing. Knowing Coach Bowles from the pre-draft interviews when he was with the Jets, knowing what type of guy he was, and him and Jason Light just told me to be myself and be the best version of that. And so that's an empowering feeling as a guy that has been asked to kind of contain who he is as a person, wears his heart on his sleeves a lot. So an empowering thing that they allowed me to do.
So you obviously will have a new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, but he was with you, you know, briefly when you were with the Rams. Do you expect to be back in Tampa? He said he wants you back. I'm sure you guys have a good relationship. Do you expect to be back there?
I would love to be back. Obviously, the pieces have to fall in the right place. For me to be back, I want Mike back. Want to get some of these guys back that were instrumental in the late run we had in the season. So I love playing there. It got me back to, you know, a good headspace and playing football and enjoying it again. So we'll see what happens. But Liam's a great guy. Only around him for 5 games, but know what type of guy he is, know how passionate he is about the game, and then just the system in itself. I think that was important for Tampa to bring in somebody that's running the same system that we had last year, so guys don't have to completely learn a new one and just can hit the ground running.
Let's stay with those 5 games just for a moment, Baker, because during one of the playoff broadcasts, I forget who it was, but someone said on the broadcast that they had talked to you and that you talked glowingly about those 5 games in Los Angeles and about Sean McVay saying, get back to being yourself. You also alluded to in this interview that maybe you were, you know, in previous places told to tamp that down. How influential do you think that month and a half with the Rams was in this season you just had?
I think it was everything. For me, going to L.A., obviously a last-minute notice, but they weren't going to make the playoffs. And for me, it was a 5-game stretch where I could build my resume and take in as much information as possible from guys that have had a lot of success offensively. And so trying to enjoy that and realize that it's not like we're going to make the playoffs, but try and learn each and every day, enjoy it while we're doing it, and push some of these young guys that we had playing alongside.
So going into this season, there were some, the person speaking is one of them, the person that I'm talking to is one, that believed in the Tampa Bay Bucs and Baker Mayfield, but most didn't. And most looked at this as, for you, hey, if this doesn't go well, Baker Mayfield, the starting NFL quarterback, we might have seen the last of that. I know you're a guy that's overcome, you're walk-on twice, you've overcome adversity, but what was your confidence level headed into this year, and what was the nerves level when this thing you've worked for your entire life seemed to, I don't want to say be slipping away, but that you didn't necessarily have a firm grasp on?
For me, just the opportunity to actually get to pick where I was going was the first step in feeling like, okay, I get to control this in a world that obviously the NFL is a lot of uncontrollable circumstances and variables. So get to control where I'm going to go, and understanding the head coaches there, the pieces that are around, a lot of the guys that had success in these deep playoff runs and even a Super Bowl run with a lot of the same faces. So I believed in it. I didn't have a doubt in my mind that I just needed a fresh start with somewhere that believed in me and I could do the rest.
All right. I have to ask you one more question looking back. Do you, now that you're to the other side of it, do you regret playing through injury what ended up being your last year in Cleveland? Do you ever think about that if after that, I don't know if it was week three or four, that you got your shoulder torn up, which was the first of a handful of injuries, if you would have just had surgery like you could have, and how your career would have gone differently, how that time would have gone differently, do you regret choosing to play through that?
I don't. I'm a firm believer. Everything happens for a reason. Stubborn as hell. Yep. Popped the shoulder out, I think, in week two or three. Yeah. And just, I wanted to be out there for the guys. I'm an ultimate competitor. I knew that from the year that we ended with 2020 with those guys losing in the divisional round to Kansas City, that if I could just get to a point where I could be similar to what I was playing like, that we could make another run. Obviously, it wasn't the case, but like I said, I believe everything happens for a reason, and it's gotten me to this point. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but I wouldn't change any of those lessons that I've learned along the way, because it's made me a better person.
Baker, I'm going to ask you a weird question. Can you describe the Baker Mayfield it factor, where I'll give you, like, Tristan Wirfs was like, you know what? Tom was Tom, but I can go grab a beer with Baker, and that seemed to, like, actually show up on the field. And I'll give you this other example. When Amon-Ra St. Brown, during the Lions game, I'm like, oh, he's hitting the Baker Mayfield dance. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of like a trash talk. But then in the Pro Bowl, here you guys are again, hitting the Baker Mayfield dance. So can you describe some of your intangibles that make you either so likable, and how that translates to success on the field?
Now, one, I didn't even know that had a name for it. I don't know if I should necessarily claim that dance. But for me, football is the ultimate team sport. And I think, you know, the quarterback position obviously gets a lot of credit for success and a lot of blame if you don't have success. And that comes with the territory. But I think just being who I am, being kind of a, you know, little man syndrome quarterback that's always playing with fire, you want to be one of the guys. You want to be embraced in the locker room. You want to be passionate about it. So, and the one thing I've always thought is so interesting is how people are wired, what makes them tick, and understanding. You got to get to know people on a personal level from there, and truly caring about who they are as people, not just players, not trying to get something out of them, but trying to impact their lives in a better way. And so for me, it's just, I've always become best friends with my teammates, and it's always been natural and something I'm passionate about.
All right, Baker, quickly here. You now join Patrick Mahomes as one of the only two-time guests on First Things First. We had you on 5 years ago at a Super Bowl. We only have, I think, one three-time guest in the history of the show. I know you have an expanding family. I know you have busy offseason. If you're in New York City, at some point, can you join the three-timer club and join us in studio, break down some either draft or football or something?
That would be nice. I love New York City. So, yeah, I'll stop in, say hi to the guys.
All right. That sounds great.
There we go.
Man.
I absolutely appreciate that, Baker.
Excellent. Any questions about Kyle Trask? Or you
we got to go. Okay. Baker Mayfield, everybody. Thank you, Big
Kyle. Kyle's a good dude.
There you go. Baker. He's a good backup.
Thank you.
All right, Baker.
Thanks, Baker.
Peace, man.
Have a great week. We'll see you guys.
Some Broussard updates.
Oh, what is this?
Tomorrow's the
what is
I told
this?
Y'all, I'm
How's it
grinding,
going?
Baby. I'm grinding. That's
why
a real photo. That's
why
no
so
photo.
Angry?
Notice how my body looks so much better than the Cowboys.
Well, yeah,
that's really me.
All black and you're sitting.
We're a lot of black.
Slim Metalstein Rockets Pacers. Miles Turner here with a great defensive effort on Shingun, but
nice. Not enough. I was disappointed in you, Wilds.
20-10-6 for the Librarian.
You weren't watching this game live because you tweeted this out this morning, so I knew it. You're catching up on
the I did. Someone said the announcers shouted
out. Bronze medal.
I said they did.
Dante DiVincenzo, 32-5-5. Shout out, Ramsey, as the Knicks get a win over the Grizzlies. Thanks, silver crazy. Medal. DeMar DeRozan, I guess staying put, not being traded. 33-3-5, and a very nice win for the Bulls, who are oddly better without Zach LaVine for some reason, though Zach LaVine's a good player. Gold medal, Luka, 35-18-9, but as all viewers from last year know, Wilds does not care at all about those 18 rebounds. In fact, they should be thrown in the garbage. There is
no
the medal.
Wow.
He just missed out. Luka was better than Kyrie last night. We can't give two of them a medal. Beating the Nets. Come on. There's the medal stamp from last night in the association.
Yeah. Go. Time now for Afternoon Headlines, sponsored by Ram Trucks. They are built to serve. Chargers GM doubled down on Harbaugh's multiple Super Bowl goal. Come on. Take a listen.
We're going to get those multiple championships. All right, we're going to do that. We're going to bring you a trophy, Dean. We're going to get it done. I got four boys. I got two rings. We're getting the other two at least, and we're going to keep trying to go.
Okay, God, Dusty the board. I mean, what are these guys doing? The board. Dusty, well, okay, the other side of the board, Dust. Other side of the board, Dusty. Sorry. Thank you, Dusty. The 2024 bulletin board is getting
already,
full already, yeah. Just with Chargers. It's just the coach and the GM, Joe Ortiz. and Jim Harbaugh. You're now both on the board, guys. Multiple championships?
I get Harbaugh just because of what he's done. And I know, you know, Horace was with the Ravens and winning, but why you put that out there? You're like saying, if we don't get this,
also,
I haven't done
my
job.
Also, how do you
decide
which of the kids got the first two rings? Like, that's kind of a
lot to put out there.
Speak is up next. We'll see you tomorrow as Never Doubt Week continues.